Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Do you have the X factor when it comes to leadership? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about the secret to bold and gutsy leadership. But first, don't forget to visit leadx.org, where you'll find hundreds of articles from dozens of the best business and career writers out there. And sign up for our quick read newsletter, which is packed with actionable tips you can try out right away. Visit leadx.org. Our guest today is a globally recognized leadership consultant and coach who's been named as a top thought leader by Trust Across America, a top 50 leadership expert, and top 100 speaker by Inc. magazine. He's the author of more than a dozen books that have been translated into 10 languages. His newest book is Moxie, The Secret of Bold and Gutsy Leadership. Our guest is John Baldoni. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. A pleasure to be with you today.
We're going to have some fun talking about Moxie in just a minute. But first, John, tell us about a time when you actually failed, maybe early in your career, and what did you learn from it?
Kevin, I love this question, and it's—I know it's asked with good intention, and I am glad about that. But I have to say, I'll be really honest. When is there a time in my life when I have not failed? And it's because failure is integral to life. If you're not failing, it probably means you're not putting yourself out. You're not taking risks. You're not doing things. At the same time, not failing means that you really don't care, or you're too full of yourself to recognize that you have made a mistake. And I think periodically through my life, I'll be cruising along, no pun intended to your name, and I'll be everything's going just great. And all of a sudden, I'll be hit by the proverbial 2x4 upside the head. And I'll just comes out of blue, a negative comment, a critique about something that I had no idea that I was doing this, which means I have a failure at times, as all human beings do, in self-awareness. So failure is endemic to my life, as I think it is to many people's life. So I love this question. And it's something that all leaders need to ask themselves. We don't ask it, we can ask it of ourselves, but when we talk to others about it, don't ask it as a gotcha question. I love HR people when they interview for executive coaches, and they'll go, well, tell us about a failure in a coaching engagement you've had. You know, I mean, that's a gotcha example. I don't mind it. I'm used to it. And I know that the person who's asking it really doesn't understand the coaching process, but it's the process they go through. So we all play the game. But failure is part of our life. And so I'd say my life is one continuous failure after another, if you want to be honest. So,
yeah, I think that's a great point, John, is, you know, and I often will say, you know, you either win or fail, you win or learn, you know, and you fail to, especially entrepreneurs, it doesn't even really have a meaning, because it's everything's an experiment and it's feedback, right? So if something didn't work out, we're getting feedback. And sometimes it stings when I get that feedback right close to the moment, but I'm always grateful for it and I'm always learning from it. So if we're not failing, we're not doing something right, right?
Absolutely. And of course, we all want praise. I'd like everybody to think I'm just the most fantastic person they ever met or worked with or whatever. But, you know, criticism, good, honest, solid feedback does sting. And that's good, because if it didn't sting, maybe we wouldn't pay attention to it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, John, your book is Moxie, The Secret to Bold and Gutsy Leadership. And let's start at the beginning. For the listeners out there who haven't grown up on the mean streets, what does Moxie mean and why is it so important?
Well, I love that question. Moxie is at its root, it's an old American slang word, and it comes from the film noir era of the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And you know, imagine that character. Maybe it's a prize fighter, or maybe it's a woman on her own, and they're succeeding against the odds. And one character will say to another about that character, oh, she has moxie, or he has moxie. So moxie is sort of guts and gumption. It's a determination, a desire to put yourself out there and to succeed. I firmly believe we don't stress enough what it takes with moxie. You mentioned entrepreneurs. They are full of moxie. If they weren't, they wouldn't try to do something different, because entrepreneurs live in the world of perpetual no. Someone is always telling them they cannot do something. And if you're going to push forward, if you're going to persevere, you better have some internal fortitude, that guts and gumption to succeed. And so that's what moxie is. It's your spirit. It's your willingness to persevere. I define it as determination over time toward a goal. So we can have moxie, but from a leadership standpoint, or maybe a career development standpoint, if we don't focus our guts and gumption, if we don't focus it toward a goal, and we don't persevere, we don't determine well enough, we will fail. So moxie, in the way I'm looking at it, it's the guts and gumption pointed toward goals.
I love that. I love the alliteration and just the point that it is about, it's over time. It's that tenacity, you know, towards the goals. So we know, we've all seen in the workplace, you know, a high potential employee, high potential leader, they've got the right stuff. You know, often we'll say, oh, she's got that X factor. How do you define the X factor, and how can we develop it, or even can we develop it?
Well, the X factor comes because, as you know from the book Moxie, I turned it in the word Moxie into an acronym: M, mindfulness; O, opportunity; X factor; I, innovation; and E, engagement. They all come together in a pivot, if you want, on the X factor, which is really my term to make the analogy work. It's about the X factor is really your character. But I took a deeper dive into what character means. It's more than simply integrity. Now, of course, without any integrity or without character, there cannot be any true leadership. But as I delved into that X factor, as you talked about, it's ambition, a willingness to take a chance, a drive. Okay. It's also courage, standing up for what you believe. Also, from a leadership standpoint, standing up for your people, taking the heat when times are tough, being the person they can go to, being a person of conviction. All right. It's also your integrity. Also, very much is compassion. We talk a lot about passion for work, which is inherent in the concept of moxie, but how about compassion? How about treating our colleagues with dignity? Dignity and respect for the work they do, but dignity as human beings. You know, we live in a pretty crass and commercial culture. Duh, it's only been said a billion times. But in that, all that, we kind of lose the dignity of personhood, what it means to be on a team, what it means to be an individual, what it means to go to work, what it means to put yourself out there to take a chance, to do something different. We need to respect the dignity of others. And from that comes compassion. And of course, also your compassion is the caring about others. It doesn't mean you're meddling, but being cognizant that people have a life outside of the workplace. How is that affecting them, either negatively or positively? It's up to a leader to know something about the external circumstance of what brings people to work. What are they working for internally, but also what's their work outside of life? Are they young children? Are they doing elder care? Are they a sportsman? Are they, you know, maybe they have a problem in their life, either a family problem or a self problem, something like that. And that's part of that compassion for human beings. And then also, what I like to think of, and we always overlook it, and I studied a little bit about it, and that's humor. You know, two of my favorite American heroes are people of humor. One was Abraham Lincoln, and the other was FDR. And both led our nations in times of very high stress. Obviously, the Civil War was a time of division. The Second World War, Depression and Second World War were challenging times, too. But neither gentleman of those lost their sense of humor. There's nothing that Lincoln liked better than a good story and one that made him chuckle. And he was also a great storyteller himself. He told stories on himself, and very often they were funny. FDR's favorite hour of the day, which was something he called the cocktail hour, and it was something he liked to do because he would have his guests in and he'd mix the drinks, which, as Winston Churchill said, he never really liked it because they were kind of sugary and sweet. And I think that dear Winston liked his stuff neat, being whatever it was. But that was, I mean, imagine a man in a wheelchair who, this was the one thing he could serve other people. And so he'd mix their drinks and pass them out. But over the cocktails, they would delve into gossip and light stories and tell jokes and things like that. That's important for a leader to have that sense of humor. And I always advise leaders to, if you're going to tell stories and with a point of view or integrate humor, make yourself, you know, be self-deprecating. Make yourself the butt of the joke. And in the sense of, and that's a, that what you're doing is you're showing a sense of vulnerability. And in reality, Kevin, as you well know, vulnerability is actually a sign of strength, because a leader who allows himself to reveal that is someone who is very confident in himself or herself.
Wow, so much great stuff there. And yeah, ending on that strong note of, it's that vulnerability, that authenticity. You know, if we're willing to go there, then that builds trust and people will be vulnerable back to us. And I also liked, I mean, you mentioned it a couple times, the importance of compassion and caring about people as people. I often like to use the term, you know, wholehearted leadership. And it gets confused. It doesn't mean being a friendly boss or the nice boss. You can still be tough on standards, but you know, compassionate to the people. You don't have to be the popular boss and turn the other way in order to still care about your individuals. So thank you for that, John.
My pleasure.
Now, I also, I loved one of your Forbes articles, and I encourage our listeners to check out all of your work on Forbes and to follow your column there. One of your articles, it was called "The Most Powerful Question a Leader Can Ask." So what is that question? How do we use it?
Most powerful question a leader can ask is, how can I help you do your job better? And that certainly is not original with me. It was taught to me by some senior leaders on more than one occasion because I watched them put it into action. I watched them go to their frontline people and ask that question, how can I help you? And I also know that leaders that I work with are asking their people about, how can I help you? And what it is you're positioning yourself more than as a helpmate, but someone who understands what the workplace dynamic is. Now, when a senior leader does that to a frontline employee, it's not that they're volunteering to hack them, say in a retail situation, to stock shelves, or in a factory to produce widgets, but it's, what do you need to succeed? That's really the heart of that question. And what can I do? What resources can I get for you? And there's a wonderful story I once told by David Hackworth, who is now passed on. He was the most, at one point, the most decorated soldier in the U.S. military. And David was a veteran of all the way from World War II to through Vietnam, and also became a journalist, but told great stories. And he said he learned how to ask the right questions, or learned a little bit, always go to the top if you need something done, because as a young private in the Second World War, that must have been just after, it was occupation time, and Eisenhower came around to him. And he said, how's it going, soldier? And young David, maybe he wasn't even of legal age because he snuck into the military before he was of age. He said, well, not so well, General. And he goes, well, what's wrong? He said, well, all we have is spam and spam and more spam. And Ike turned to his adjutant and said, is that true? And he goes, well, yes, sir, because we have an oversupply of it, so we keep giving it to the men. And Ike said, well, stop that and feed these men right. And then he gently punched David Hackworth in the chest, and he said, does that do it for you, soldier? And he goes, yes, sir. So in other words, it's that kind of thing. It's that access to the top. Now, Ike didn't say, how can I help you? But how are things going?
Right.
He made himself accessible. And most people would say, oh, everything's fine, General. But when you go, you put yourself out, make it clear that people can give you a straight answer. They can get, how are things going? If they're not going well, then hey, it's because we need this or we need Y, and then it's up to you to explain what you can do about it. And it's a reciprocal process. While, you know, we talk about what we need from employees, employees need to give back to us. So it's a back and forth type thing. So what can you do to help me, I think, is a very powerful question for anyone in a position of authority to think about.
That's tremendous. I mean, I think it's been a sort of a staple of my weekly one-on-ones to always end by, you know, after we've talked about the priorities for the week and everything else, you know, I generally will end and say, how can I help, or what do you need from me in order to get all that stuff done that we just talked about? And like you said, it can go in both directions. So John, before we wrap up, I always like to challenge our listeners to get just a little bit better every single day. Is there something you can challenge, you know, all of us to do right away at work or even in our personal life?
It's a really good question, Kevin. And I'm when people ask me something like that, I invariably punt. But you made me think about it. So I prepared a little bit of something. And I thought it's real simple. And I think if we think about the times that we're in, which are great uncertainty, it's our be brave, stand up for what you believe, admit when you're wrong, resolve to make corrections, and move forward.
That's great. What is the best way we can find out more about you and your work, John?
Well, it's my website, which is johnbaldoni.com. And there's also a blog site, which is a collected columns of my work from Harvard Business Review, as well as many of the, I do a lot of coaching videos, which are available on Smart Briefs, but johnbaldoniblog.com. And if you forget all that, just Google my name and a whole bunch of stuff will come up, more than you even want to know. So that's the best.
All right, friends, you've just been coached by leadership guru John Baldoni. Don't forget you can get links and notes that he mentioned all over at leadx.org, and you can get his book Moxie from amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. And listeners, do you want to join the LeadX Ambassador Group on Facebook? Over there, we do monthly giveaways, Q&A sessions with our guests, give away tons of free books, have a lot of fun. To get your invitation, just go leave an honest review up on iTunes and let me know. I'm at kevin@leadx.org. So until next time, remember, leadership is about influence, not authority. So we are all leaders. The question is, what kind of leader will you be?